Come welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. It's great to see all of you tonight. We pray God's blessings on our time together. It is hot and miserable and humid outside, but wherever the word of the Lord is, God is present, and there he is with his refreshing word and sacrament. We pray that would be the case for us tonight. A couple of words on our worship service for this evening. Our opening hymn, 544, O Love, How Deep, 544. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 4. Divine Service Setting 4, that's on page 203 and following. We'll use the worship insert from this past Sunday, the first Sunday after Trinity, and tonight we'll focus not only with our hymns, mostly on the epistle reading, the love passage that we have from 1 John 4. But the rest of our service will focus on the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, our gospel reading from Luke 16. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings of each new day. We thank you for the gifts that you give us. We thank you for the gift of faith. Faith which is not generic, but faith which has an object. Your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus, risen from the dead. Heavenly Father, help us to cling to your Word which continues to bring us back to the completed work of Jesus for us, for forgiveness, life, and salvation. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hymn 544. service setting four, page 203. Page 203. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are forgiven.
Since we are gathered to hear God's Word, call upon Him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as His people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God our Heavenly Father, seeking His grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God,
have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by His authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing together the introit appointed for the day.
I'll see you. be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray.
O God, the strength of all who trust in You, mercifully accept our prayers. And because through the weakness of our mortal nature, we can do no good thing, grant us Your grace to keep Your commandments, that we may please You in both will and deed. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Continue with the readings. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday after Trinity is from Genesis chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will You give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, You have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We speak together in a gradual.
I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal me, for I have sinned against You. Blessed is the one who considers the poor. In the day of trouble, the Lord delivers him. The epistle is from 1 John chapter 4. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God. And God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as He is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because He first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from Him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel, the Alleluia and verse. To St. Luke, the 16th chapter.
Glory to You, O Lord,
Jesus said. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us." And he said, "Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment." But Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he said, "No, Father Abraham. But if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We confess the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen.
Please be seated. Hymn 571, God Loved the World. 571.
Thank you. name of Jesus. Amen. Appearances are often deceiving. Jesus tells a story in which a poor man goes to heaven and a rich man goes to hell. So it might seem that Jesus is teaching us about social justice, but he's not. It might seem like the message of this story is, have compassion on the underprivileged. But that's not the point. Nor is Jesus teaching us that being wealthy is sinful. The poor man didn't go to heaven because he was poor. The rich man didn't go to hell because he was rich. In fact, the man who seemed to be poor was the one who was actually rich, and the rich man was poor. Appearances are deceiving. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. This guy had it all. All the things that we might strive after and daydream about. The six-figure income, the million-dollar house, Armani suits, Tesla cars, parties late into the night, and my favorite, no alarm clock the next morning. This guy had friends, success, recognition, everything that this world considers valuable. And what did it matter? The rich man died and was buried and woke up in hell. The truth that was hidden in life was revealed in death. This man whom the world called rich was actually poor. He who had tasted the finest wines now begged in vain for a single drop of water. But there was another man who was thrown at the rich man's gate, a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. You know, there's nothing about this poor man that we would envy. In fact, if we saw this beggar on the street, we would probably not feel compassion, but we would probably feel disgust. We saw him with pus oozing from every sore. If we accidentally touched him, we would feel compelled to go wash our hands. We would feel unclean, contaminated. Yet the poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. This beggar, whom the world despised, was revealed in death to be truly rich. Lazarus was given a place of honor in heaven, a place at the side of Abraham, the father and patriarch of the faith. Now, of these two men, which one enjoyed God's blessing in life? That's a tough question. You see, we have funny ideas about what a blessing looks like. For example, think of a way that God blessed you in the last month. Now, how many of you are thinking of something that brought suffering into your life? Not many of us. When we dream about our future life, it looks generally more like the life of the rich man than the life of Lazarus. You see, we're very quick to focus our concern on the cares of this world and not on heaven. What is it that gets you out of bed in the morning? Is it the hope of the resurrection? Or is it the hope of earthly comforts and blessings? When you pray, do you pray that God would strengthen your faith even through suffering? Or do you pray instead for success, comfort, and possessions? How many of us daydream of heaven? Well, repent. If you're being honest, you'll admit that you dream more often not of being a beggar, but of being a benefactor. Everyone wants to be the one who is giving freely to everyone else. We despise being beggars. We dream of sumptuous fares and recognition, but our dreams show us what we love. Repent. The deceitfulness of riches led the rich man away from Christ. His riches were not a blessing to him. They became a curse. His wealth destroyed him. What he needed most was not stuff, recognition, or power. Jesus says, "Do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you," in other words, that you have power, "but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." We know the poor man's name, Lazarus, which means "God is my help." But what was the rich man's name? We don't know. No one remembers. His name was not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and his name has been forgotten. Now the rich man called out from hell, "Father Abraham!" But Abraham was not his father. Oh yes, the rich man was a Jew. He could trace his genealogy back to Abraham, but he had no share in the faith of Abraham. Another time the Jews said to Jesus, "We are children of Abraham." And Jesus replied, "You cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil." This is the reason the rich man was in hell. Not because he was rich, but because he could not bear to hear Jesus' words. Remember, Abraham also was very, very rich. And Abraham's name becomes a description of heaven. In this parable, we're not told that the poor man went to heaven. We're told that he went to the bosom of Abraham. Rich man, Abraham. But he's in heaven. The rich man could not bear to hear the words of Christ. We don't find this at the beginning of the parable, but if you listen to what he says, you'll see this is true. The rich man said, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers, lest they also come into this place of torment." But Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. They have the scriptures. Let them hear them." The rich man said, "No, Father Abraham. But if someone goes to them from the dead, then they will repent." In death, just as he had in life, the rich man despises the word of God. He rejects the means that God had given to provide him faith. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And instead, he insisted that God give him some other means. "God, do something flashy and amazing. Perform a miracle." Notice the rich man doesn't repent of his unbelief. Well, it's too late for that. There's no repentance in heaven. But instead, he tries to invent a new means of grace for his brothers. A means by extension that God should have provided for him, but didn't. His plea for his brothers is really an accusation against God. He knows better than God how his brothers ought to be saved. Not by God's word, but by some miracle. And he blames God for his own fate. "God, if you had done this for me, I wouldn't be here either. Now do it for my brothers." He rejects the word of God as the means of salvation and substitutes a new means, one that was invented in hell instead of heaven. Now we see this too often in our churches today. Back home, some members came up to my pastor and said, "Pastor, our church is all full of gray hair. In a few years, our church will be dead. We've got to do something. What's your plan, Pastor?" And he looked at them and said, "I'm glad you asked. Here's my plan. Preach the Word of God and administer the sacraments faithfully." The members looked at each other confused, and walked away. And as they went, one of them said to the other, "Pastor doesn't have a plan." So what do? We come up with our own plan. Rather than believing that the Word of God alone can bring sinners to repentance, we put together a new program. We get some flashy lights or smoke machines. We tune up our electric guitars. We reject the righteousness that comes by faith and instead embrace a new righteousness of social or environmental activism. We forsake the words of Christ that call all men to repentance, and instead we choose new words that help us feel comfortable and relaxed and at home in our sin. In short, we become just like the rich man. We would rather fill our bellies with the gimmicks and gizmos of this world than come as beggars to the table of our Lord. We turn from Christ and become idolaters. But death destroys all of our idols. Death exposes the glittering treasures of this world for what they are: emptiness. Death washes away everything that is built on any foundation other than Christ and His cross. Repent and return to your baptism. Repent and trust in God's promise, for His Word will accomplish that which He says. Only the Word of God can work genuine repentance and sorrow over sin. Only the Word of God can convert sinners. Only the Word of God can create faith in our hearts where there was once only unbelief. And that's exactly what God did to you in your baptism. Your sins were washed away. You were grafted into the family of God. You weren't born a child of Abraham naturally, but through faith and the Spirit, you were born again, into the family of God. You were made a child of Abraham, a child of faith. And just as it is said of Abraham, he believed the Lord and God counted it to him as righteousness, so it is said of you. You have been made righteous through faith. Faith in Christ and His cross. Faith in His completed work for you. And faith means that you believe God when He tells you your sins are washed away. They are as far from you as the east is from the west. Faith means that you believe Christ when He says that through baptism, His cross has now become your cross. His death is now your death to sin. And His new life is now your new life. You don't need a more powerful sign. You don't need a more trustworthy word. There is nothing more powerful and trustworthy than the Word of God that has been delivered to you. Moses and the prophets who speak with one voice of Christ crucified for you. And if you had no other treasure, if you were reduced to being a beggar, covered with sores, and you had nothing that this world considers valuable, but you had the Word of God, you would be the most blessed and richest person on this earth. So though Satan will seek to use the suffering of this life to harm you, God uses that very same suffering to draw you closer to Himself. Death was the devil's last shot, his last gambit with Lazarus. After that, what could he do? And in the moment of your death, the work that God first began in you in baptism will be complete. perfect. Death is the consummation, the finishment, the goal of your baptism. Death removes you forever from Satan's reach, and it seals you forever in the kingdom of God, in the faith. Yes, we are beggars here on earth, whether we look like it or not. But our God fills the hungry with good things. So here on earth, God gives us His Word, and He fills us with His supper as a foretaste of heaven. Let us pray. Lord, let at last Thine angels come. To Abraham's bosom bear me home, that I may die unfearing, and in its narrow chamber keep my body safe in peaceful sleep until Thy reappearing. And then from death awaken me, that these mine eyes with joy may see, O Son of God, Thy glorious face, my Savior and my fount of grace. Lord Jesus Christ, my prayer attend, my prayer attend, and I will praise You without end. Amen. We stand for prayer.
Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. In addition to the prayer requests listed in our bulletin, we pray for the niece of Jan Stelic, Natalie, undergoing tests and a search for a diagnosis. We pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we are all beggars. Teach us by the power of Your Word to know and to believe that fact. Lord, in Your mercy, Heavenly Father, You have given us a precious gift in the gift of Your Son, Jesus, who has lived and died and risen victorious over the grave for all people, regardless of age or social status or race or creed. Heavenly Father, help us to take this good news of Jesus to the four corners of the world, so that people would truly hear and believe. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, You have given us a special treasure in the gift of Your Word. Bless us that we would read, learn, mark, and inwardly digest Your Word. Heavenly Father, help us to believe it for ourselves and to pass it on to generations yet unborn. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, great physician of body and soul, You chasten and You heal. We beg You to show mercy to all of Your servants who are sick or suffering this day. We pray for Natalie, for Will, for Leola, and for all those that we remember in our hearts. Heavenly Father, grant them healing unto life and grace in the midst of their affliction. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of life, be with all those who are mourning the loss of loved ones this day, for the family of Clara Dinas, for the family of Adam Kamen and his girlfriend, for all the others who are mourning this day. Heavenly Father, bless them, bless us with the knowledge that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and grant healing in the midst of our sorrow. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank You for the gift of life that You shower down upon us, and we thank You for the birth of a daughter, Clara Elizabeth, to Dr. Christopher and Elizabeth Allman. Heavenly Father, bless mother and daughter until Clara is born again through the waters of holy baptism. Lord, in Your mercy,
Bless all those who come at your gracious invitation to receive the very body and blood of Jesus in and under bread and wine. Bless us with truly repentant hearts. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our
prayer. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. This time we ask that you would participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship. This time also we worship God with our gifts and our offerings. Special word of welcome to those worshiping on the radio and internet. Continue now with the service of the sacrament, page 208. Please stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord. Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on Him our sin, giving Him into death that we might not die eternally. Because He is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in Him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. in your righteous judgment. You condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit. And you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and made His cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in Him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of His cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in His body and blood. Hear us as we pray in His name and as He has taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is My body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of Me." In the same way also, He took the cup after supper. When He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in My blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. We sing.
Jesus Christ.
very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus, strengthen and preserve you steadfast in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
We stand and sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 211. Of Jesus. Pastor Morundi's on vacation. Please keep he and his family in your prayers for rest and relaxation and safe travel and all of those kind of things that go with that. We had a funeral on Monday. We said goodbye to one of our shut-in members, Clara Dinas. Please keep Clara's family in your thoughts and prayers as well. Clara, 97 years old and great model and example of just what we heard in God's Word tonight. Someone who considered herself to be nothing more than a beggar and thankful to receive the crumbs that the Lord gives us, forgiveness, life, and salvation. Check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes if you haven't done so already. Activities and events in the days and weeks ahead are listed there. We can still use a little help for summer Sunday school. We like to give our teachers a break during the summer. There's a sign-up sheet on the information booth for that. We had a table completely full of paper products to go to Lutheran Family Services. All right? And yesterday when they came and brought the big barrel for the Lincoln Food Pantry, they assumed that all those paper products were for them. So, I'm sure they're going to go to a good home and be used and all that kind of stuff. But calling for a paper drive for Lutheran Family Services. You'll see the table and the empty table and the sign that's there. So if you have anything you can spare or bring, that would be a really nice, good, God-pleasing thing and all that. Bible study tonight. Continue looking at Luke chapter 1. That'll be in the fellowship hall. Lifelight, Hebrews, tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Anything else, Vicar? You sure? Okay. I think that's all. Have a great day and week in the life of in the name of Jesus. Amen.